It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Great to have you with us over the noon hour here on Iowa Public Radio. You'll want to stay tuned for our second half hour. We'll talk about this news that NASA just released, news about what almost happened to the Earth in 2012. The Earth came very close to being hit by a solar flare. It was an event that could have wiped out electrical power for tens of millions of people, not just for an hour or a month, but for longer than that. We'll talk about that solar flare and the implications, the vulnerability of our power grid, of our technology to such things, coming up in our second half hour. But first of all, late last month, Tyson Foods announced it's closing three U.S. plants, including one in northwest Iowa. Tyson, the biggest U.S. meat processor, planned closures in the plants at Buffalo, New York, Santa Teresa, New Mexico, and here in Iowa, in the northwest town of Cherokee. The company said the action will enable it to move some of the operations and equipment at the plants to other more cost-efficient Tyson plants. The Cherokee plant will close September 27th, has about 450 employees, making it the second largest employer in town. This is a town of about 5,000 people. Tyson says the affected workers will be encouraged to apply for job openings elsewhere in the company, be invited to job fairs organized by the company. The three plants have been part of Tyson since 2001 when it acquired IBP. Joining us first of all to talk about this blow to Cherokee, Don Eichmeyer, the city administrator of the city of Cherokee. Don Eichmeyer, welcome to our program.
Hello, thank you.
Mark Buschkamp is with us, executive director of the Cherokee Area Economic Development. Mark, welcome to you.
Good afternoon, and thank you.
And terribly sorry to be speaking to you with such bad news for the city of Cherokee. Tell us, how big of a presence is Tyson in your town, or has it been? Don, please.
Tyson has a 50-year span with some prior ownership, different names, but has been a very key part of the community, and it is a significant loss. You mentioned the 455 employees and their respective families, and that has that's going to have direct impact on our Main Street in sale of retail and services. On our school district, as well as on the city itself.
Mm-hmm.
We have operated a water and wastewater treatment plant solely for the purposes of Tyson for these last 50 years. And the loss of that revenue in maintaining our sewer and water employees is going to be a real challenge that we are very carefully evaluating.
Mm-hmm. So the city invested some 50 years ago extra money in building a separate city water and sewer?
Yes, it was determined back then that we could best meet the Tyson's long-term needs by establishing a separate independent well field as well as a independent wastewater treatment plant. And the city with Tyson's, to be clear, Tyson as a sole customer paid for all of these improvements as well as paid for the operating costs over the years. But now that they have announced this closing, we end up being able to close down the plants, but those same employees work both for the industrial plants as well as our municipal water and wastewater plants, and that becomes our real challenge.
Mark Buschkamp, Don Eichmeyer talked a little bit about the economic impact. Go into that more as the executive director of the economic development in the area. Do you notice, first of all, the mood in the area since that news came last week?
Well, certainly I think there are a range of emotions that occur probably with any kind of announcement like this or any kind of major change in someone's life. There's disappointment, there's anger, there's probably even depression and other things, and yet there's also a resiliency among the people that, you know what, we're going to get beyond this. It's we're going to look back in this in 10 years and we're going to find a silver lining, and it's not going to get us down. So that's an encouraging thing that I've heard.
Mm-hmm. Don Eichmeyer, how are you informed of this closing?
We were informed pretty much the same way the general public was informed. Tyson officials met with their employees, I believe it was at 2 o'clock, and at 3 o'clock the city was notified. Mayor Murphy met with officials, I guess along with Mark Wishkamp, as well as the chamber director. I was out of town at the point in time, but we received the same notice on Friday afternoon, July 26th.
Mm-hmm. A couple weeks ago. Mark Wishkamp, how satisfied are you with how Tyson announced this and has treated your town since that time?
Well, obviously it was a very brief announcement where it's not a lot of opportunity ahead of time to prepare for it, so I understand that. At this point, we have requested some information about what the disposition of the plant is, and we haven't really gotten a lot of information there yet.
Mm-hmm. As to the reasoning why this plant had to close, you mean?
Well, no, as to where it's going to go in the future. Obviously we want the opportunity to, with this facility, the infrastructure that Don mentioned earlier is all in place. It's certainly a marketable facility. We just want to make sure that we'll have the opportunity to do that, and we just don't know that yet at this point.
Mm-hmm. So the reasoning Don Eichmeier given here is that there are more efficient ways to use or other plants that are more cost efficient. Do you follow that?
I don't necessarily follow that, but Tyson has gone through several changes in management structure in the last 5 years at the plant, and there's been reports, and not official reports, that kept on saying that there's some problems here, there's some problems there. But the information we had always gotten from management is that the plant is ongoing and it was going to continue long term, and that's what we were counting on.
And so this was a surprise.
It's a surprise. Again, it is, as Mark says, it is a opportunity also.
Okay, so let's talk about that a little bit. We have a few other guests to join us this half hour, but talk about what you see as opportunity, Don.
Well, we have a plant that is in a great location adjacent to railroad and airport facilities. It has its own water treatment and wastewater treatment facilities that can produce up to 2 million gallons per day of water if necessary, and can process the resulting amount on the wastewater side. The structure is a sound structure, and we're still waiting to find out how much equipment and how much capacity of the building, for example, refrigeration units and or the smokehouses are going to remain with the structure. And once we have that information, we plan on marketing it fully. We fielded several queries as to the future of the building already from prospective other businesses and industry.
Are they all in the meatpacking industry?
Not necessarily. In fact, I know one I spoke to yesterday was definitely not in the meatpacking industry. But I'd be remiss to not mention the Iowa Economic Development Agency. Debbie Durham has been very instrumental in assisting the city in this effort. I know she is talking to Tyson officials to try to break down and get additional information for marketing purposes in the immediate future, and we need to recognize the assistance that the state has given us there.
Mm-hmm. Mark Wishkamp, what about these 455 employees? What do you see in their futures?
Well, certainly it's a very uncertain time for them. Tyson has said that they'll be they'll have job fairs and there will be opportunities for them to transfer to other plants. But you know, certainly some of those people who have homes here, that would be extremely difficult. And some people, this is their home and has been for a long time. Our hearts certainly go out to them. We do have, fortunately, we have other major employers and minor employers in the community. We've been an area that has had relatively low unemployment, and I've been inundated with calls over the course of the last week with companies that are asking, are you going to have a job fair? Are we going to have an opportunity to talk to employees? We're hiring. And so there's going to be opportunity for jobs within the community, within the area. Can we absorb 450 people? No, not tomorrow, maybe not within the first year. But certainly we do see some of our other companies growing and expanding and hiring.
Mm-hmm. Mark Buschkamp is with us, along with Don Eichmeyer of the city of Cherokee. 450 jobs lost there. They will be going to last day on September 27th at the plant due to close, the Tyson plant there. Perhaps you're listening and you're in a community who've suffered a similar economic blow. How did your town cope with a large closing of a plant or industry? 1-866-780-9100, river to river at iowapublicradio.org. We're also on Facebook, or you can tweet us at IPR Talk. Joining us also now, Kathy Lively is with us. She's the CEO of Mantracon Corporation. I hope I got that right, Kathy. Mantracon?
Yes, that's correct.
And this is you're a not-for-profit company based in Southern Illinois. And what do you do for companies?
We are the administrative entity for our Workforce Investment Board. So we handle the funds that come from the Department of Labor through, in Illinois, it's called the Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity. So mm-hmm. we are about helping people find employment, especially mm-hmm. those with challenges to finding employment.
And we have you on the program because there was a plant that closed in 2008 in the Illinois town of Herron. What was that plant?
It had recently been acquired by Whirlpool, but it was known for years by Maytag.
Mm-hmm. So you've been listening to Cherokee receiving this announcement within the last few days. This happened back in 2008. How big a blow was that to Herron at that time?
Well, people truly thought that it would be the end of the town of Herron. And we have to remember, I'm sure in Cherokee as well, the zip codes that actually worked at the facility were over 29. So it's not just the town of Herron, although a lot of the traffic, so therefore the residual retail dining establishments, you know, they all expected to close. And I'm very, very happy to report that just did not happen.
Okay. So what is the trick? How did you transition after such a huge loss of how many jobs was it?
Over 1,000.
Over 1,000 jobs, mm-hmm. and Herron is a city of how many?
10,000.
Of 10,000. So
yes.
Double the size of Cherokee, roughly, mm-hmm. and roughly double the number. So we have an equivalency, a parallel, even if Herron is a little bit bigger. So what advice can be given to the people of Cherokee on how to make a successful transition and have a still lively community?
Well, I was excited actually to hear someone talk about silver lining, because from the very beginning we actually chose to coin the phrase silver lining and transition. And we were fortunate in that we were allowed by Whirlpool to come on site, and we actually developed a transition site there, because for the most part the people in our facility had not had any other job in their entire lifetime or had worked there for at least 20 years. So they needed help with resumes. They needed help with understanding if they had any college, how did that translate into going into training. So we were really about training, and fortunate to have a transition team of city, economic development, chamber, community college, social services, healthcare, because we understood that it was going to affect the entire family. So from the very beginning, we had this transition team of over 40 people who worked on giving opportunities for the workers so that they understood that this was an opportunity to stay in the same direction or change directions.
Mm-hmm. What kinds of retraining for workers are most effective, or were most effective in Herron?
Some of the people wanted to go back and get a CNC or pick up some welding. They wanted to stay in the manufacturing environment because Whirlpool Maytag was a manufacturing environment for washing machines and dryers. And some went into engineering. Others changed course completely and went into healthcare. We were very fortunate to have some healthcare increases in the number of employees in our region. A hospital was expanding. They went into maintenance, went back to their community college, an incredibly important partner. The community college, too, came to this transition center and helped our workers understand that the average age at the college was not the 19-year-old they expected, but that they were very, very welcome as returning adults. There's a perception for some adults that college can't be for them if they're over 30 years old.
Mm-hmm. Mark Buschkamp, and Don Eichmeyer, this must give you some hope to hear the story of Herron, Illinois, Mark.
Well, certainly it's encouraging. I love to hear that. I have reached out to some other communities in our area that have experienced some plant closures. I reached out to Orange City. They had Advanced Pierre Foods close there, losing 400 employees 2 years ago. John Morrell in Sioux City, I've reached out to Sioux City, and I've talked with them extensively. Also, there was a Monroe Tentacle plant in Cozad, Nebraska, a community approximately the size of Cherokee that had a plant closure there with 500 employees. And it is, I've heard the same thing that Kathy's talking about, is that it takes some time and there's a transition period, but with job retraining, with other employers stepping up, expanding, seeing the opportunity to be able to expand in economic development, it's really all about employees. It's probably the greatest resource. And with an available labor pool, that creates opportunities for other companies.
Okay. We also want to talk with Clement Ward. Clement Ward, before our half hour ends, is a professor emeritus in the Department of Agricultural Economics at Oklahoma State University. He's an Iowa native and a former Iowa State University professor. Hello, Clement Ward.
Hello, how are you?
I am fine. We asked you on this program briefly because you've witnessed, studied many meat plant closures in the Midwest. I want to ask you about the broader implications here. Is this a trend in the Midwest to see these meat plants closing?
Certainly, but not just the Midwest. It's really happening all across the meat industry, and the driving force is just cost efficiencies, and in the case of cattle and hogs, the how the numbers have changed over the years, how demand has changed, and the plants just making adjustments to that.
Mm-hmm. When you hear this story of Cherokee and the questions that Don and Mark have about, you know, coming out of the blue, they thought that their plant was viable for many years to come. Can you give us a bigger picture as to perhaps why the Cherokee plant was singled out for closing?
Not especially, other than that it, as they've said, it was a 50-year-old plant. And if you, if you watch this industry, a lot of the plants in the industry are really quite old, and sometimes the livestock and poultry producers have changed. Moved their location somewhat, and so some of them are just out of place compared to where the raw product is. And I think that was a case particularly with what Tyson said about the New York plant. And so they see an opportunity to consolidate and get closer to the raw materials and in turn be more efficient.
Mm-hmm. What else has been going on? What trends have been going on in the meat industry in the last couple of decades?
We've seen... besides the consolidation at the packing level, we've seen certainly an increase in consolidation at the producer level. Fewer larger feedlots, fewer larger hog producers, and all of this kind of works in unison. A lot more contracting between producers and the packers, and certainly at the demand at the retail level, we've seen a lot more branded beef, and this was a plant that was specializing in branded beef products.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if you can speak to the fact that the people of Cherokee hope to have somebody buy this plant and inhabit it with another industry, not necessarily meat packing, but is that something that can happen in your eyes?
Definitely. I think, as Don and Mark have indicated, the plant has a lot of things going for it, really, even though it may be old. It has, structurally sound, and like they said, good access for transportation. Their utilities are quite good relative to this. The refrigeration capabilities, receiving and shipping facilities. So, yeah, I think definitely there are some alternative uses for this plant. It could be another food industry, maybe not meat packing, but another food processor that would be able to move into a plant like this.
Any other thoughts or advice for the people of Cherokee?
Only that I was impressed with what Heron had done, and I think this concept of a transition team, this is a community issue, and it affects everybody, as Kathy said, from families and their relationships to the housing industry, the schools, tax base, Main Street, everybody's going to be involved and everybody's going to be affected, and it's not going to resolve itself overnight. So the more that the community can work together to lessen the blow, I think the better off they're going to be.
Mm-hmm. Clement Ward, how much time does a community have after a blow like this before people, when people are trying to retool their skills before people leave a community for lack of jobs? Is there a window of opportunity that must be taken right now?
I don't think so. I think it's hard to answer that question because particularly we live in an era when there are so many two-income families that one, the spouse of somebody who might have been at the plant and laid off might be able to carry them for a time while they go through retraining and job search and so on. And so they might be able to stay in Cherokee longer than they otherwise would if you had a sole income earner in the family.
Mm-hmm. Kathy Lively, do you want to jump in on that? We have just about a minute left, but about how much time does this transition take?
For some people, it was a very short period of time. For others, it was a couple of years, and that's actually good for the economy because people are entering back in at different times as workforce. But I don't want to underestimate the power of the no-cost training dollars that should be available through the Workforce Investment Act. And while people are drawing unemployment and attending school at the same time, that's very unusual, but that happens in these large closures. So people need to be checking on that and making sure that folks understand all of their opportunities.
Don Eichmeier, go ahead. We have just over 30 seconds.
I just want to add that Iowa Workforce Development is in town already. We've given them a meeting space in our community center. There will be job fairs. There will be opportunities for these employees to meet to consider retraining or alternate employment.
Okay, very good. And what do you see, Mark, very quickly in your future there in Cherokee?
Well, it's going to be a very busy time as we try to bring together all these resources to help the employees and to market the facility.
Okay. Mark Buschkamp, Executive Director of the Cherokee Area Economic Development. Don Eichmeier, City Administrator of Cherokee. Kathy Lively of Mantra Khan Corporation. And Clement Ward of the Oklahoma State University. Thank you all for this discussion. And we wish Cherokee all the best in weathering this storm. The plant closure announced 450 jobs to be lost at the end of September. Thank you all for talking with us.
Thank you for your
interest.
Thank you.
Coming up in the next half hour, this news that NASA just released from 2012, the Earth came very close to being hit by a solar flare, and that was an event that could have wiped out electrical power for tens of millions of people. Can you imagine yourself not having electrical power for days, weeks, months? We'll talk about that when we return. It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News.